Friday, October 13th. Started the day with the Rogers Kissinger breakfast. Haig and I sat in. President and Henry gave Rogers the general plan we agreed on last night, which covered the fact that Henry had the details of the military settlement worked out, but still hung up on the political settlement and wouldn't have that till after he goes back to Paris on Tuesday. If it worked out, he would then go to Saigon and work it out with Tu. Rogers basically bought the whole thing, walked into the trap by saying that he didn't think we should accept any settlement that overthrew Tu unless we could figure out a way of handling it so Tu would accept it. He indicated that we should, of course, leap at any settlement that didn't overthrow Tu, no matter how it was worked out. So he's now positioned to have to back the actual settlement enthusiastically, since it's better than anything he thinks possible at the moment. President had Henry up in the Lincoln Room after breakfast, called me in mainly for discussion of schedule plans, but both he and Henry felt they had the ground pretty well laid out with Rogers. Henry then went on during the day to meet with Alex Johnson, as Rogers agreed he could, and with Bill Sullivan. Sullivan's nitpicking some of the details, but Henry thinks that can be worked out, and things are pretty well on track. Both the President and Henry are realizing in the cold gray light of dawn today that they still have a plan that can fall apart, mainly the problem of getting Tu on board, but also the problem that the North Vietnamese may not buy what Lee Duc Tho comes back to them with. So it's still problematical, although Henry is convinced that he's got it settled and that it will work out and that we can talk Tu into it. I would think he could, because the settlement he's got is the best Tu's ever going to get, and unlike 68, when Tu screwed Johnson, he had then Nixon as an alternative. Now he has McGovern as an alternative, which would be a disaster for him, even worse than the worst possible thing that Nixon could do to him. On the schedule, the President's obsessed today with going to Pennsylvania, wants to go to Pittsburgh at noon for a motorcade, unless we can get a good crowd in the late afternoon, make it a mid-Atlantic meeting with West Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, then do the Boilermakers ball early in the evening and leave. This is out of Colson's suggestion to him. Later in the day, he pursued it again, wanted me to call Rizzo and see, well, but then I got into the point that we have to do Philadelphia because Rizzo's expecting it. Also that we can't do Pittsburgh because McGovern's there the day of the Boilermakers ball. So he told me to call Rizzo and see if I could talk him out of a visit there. I did that, and Rizzo wasn't about to be talked out of it. He's determined that the President should be there. He gave me a big pitch on how great everything was, that he had all the ward leaders in today. They're almost all on his payroll. He told them that the President either wins in their areas or they're to look for another job. He slammed Leon Sullivan and all of our people who aren't doing anything. Came up with a lot of ideas for things the President might do in Philadelphia, but insisted he's got to come. So we're probably trapped on that. We'll work something out as time goes on with Rizzo. The President also got into post-election plans. He's now decided he ought to spend a week in Key Biscayne before settling down at Camp David to put the new administration together. I think that's probably a good idea. I called Connally mainly to tell him what a great job his half-hour TV is, and it really is spectacular. He's done the best job I've ever seen on television of just totally demolishing a guy, and I think it's going to be enormously effective. He says he had a good trip in California, a lot of good media coverage, and he thinks things look good for us out there. He's very optimistic, upbeat, and says we should stay right on the course we're on, don't change a thing, that if he had felt we should change anything, he would have called, but he definitely doesn't. We got into long discussions today on the espionage charge, because it now turns out the Post has Chapin involved in it as a way to bring in the White House. And so we spent a lot of time late this afternoon, this evening, trying to work out a way of answering that, which is a little hard to do because we don't even have the Post story. But I think we developed something that'll work for the time being, at least, end of October 13th.